Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
On the road, we're going home to the place where wild nerds roam with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Dad, what are the Long Box guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless to taking over the world. Yes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Long Box Guys. How are we all doing today, guys?
Oh, I'm doing terrific. How are you doing, Tom?
There you go. Everyone's shouting out. My name is Thomas Strange. I'm with some of my best friends since I was a little kid. Mike Manning, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing excellent, and I'm drinking a Hefeweizen today.
Hefeweizen. That's been your go-to for a couple of weeks now.
Yep, I like it.
All right. Josh, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I am perfectly level. I'm drinking a Julius, a Treehouse Classic, their flagship IPA. It's delicious.
It sounds delicious. You got a beautiful glass. Got a nice head on that. Boy, I tell you what, you're living the dream.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah. Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy, one of my best friends from ever. How you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I'm drinking some Winchester bourbon.
Straight bourbon whiskey, not even on the ice, I noticed.
Not even on the ice.
Why not? Treat yourself. What, you need a couple bucks? I'll send you an ice cube tray.
It's all true, Tommy. It's all true.
Little
How
ice
are you
cube.
Doing, Tom? What are you drinking?
I'm doing terrific. I'm drinking a Thompson's Water Seal. Still my favorite scotch. It's $14 for a handle. Can't beat that price. Just saying. You know what I think it is? I think it's terrific. Speaking of terrific, today we're going to be talking about Mr. Terrific, a very interesting character because he's really had two full lives. We're going to talk about the Mr. Terrific of the Golden Age and the Mr. Terrific of the Modern Age. I'm going to do the Mr. Terrific of the Golden Age, if you don't mind, Tommy. Do you mind if I take that?
No, Tommy. Be my guest. Talk about Mr. Sloan all you want.
All right, Terry Sloan, a self-made millionaire with a photographic memory, an Olympic level athlete, and a master of martial arts, a true Renaissance man, graduated college at the age of 13, a renowned businessman, but he had a problem. The problem was he was running out of challenges, so much so that he actually became suicidal. He was going to end his own life. He decided to end it all because everything in the world just seemed so simple to him. I love that as a storyline. People who have no mountain left to conquer sometimes become very, very, distraught over that idea. And that really rung a chord with me. You know, this guy was so good at everything that he just didn't feel life was worth living because there was no real any other mountain to conquer. And then he sees a woman trying to commit suicide. He uses his super athleticism to dive into the water, save her, swim to shore, and then he finds out that the reason she's in such danger and wants to kill herself is because her boyfriend is in trouble with the mob. He becomes a man of mystery, more than a superhero, but that changes later, and uses his knowledge, his athleticism, his abilities to get her out of trouble, and now he has a new purpose in life. He can be a masked man of mystery, and that's what he does. And he also focuses on the Fair Play Club, which if you look at the old uniform, he used to have Fair Play written on the club. Fair Play written on his uniform. I think Mr. Terrific still has Fair Play on the sleeve of his arm. He did this to help juvenile delinquents that was in his neighborhood try to get a leg up and try to better themselves. Unfortunately, the House of Un-American Activities Committee ordered the JSA to reveal their secret identities, and in order to protect their families, they disbanded. That's kind of a contrivance from the Golden Age over to the Modern Age. And even more unfortunate, Spirit King, one of his old enemies, possessed the body of Jay Garrick and infiltrated the JLA satellite during a meeting after they had disbanded, when they were just kind of checking in, and kills the original Mr. Terrific, Terry Sloan. And that's pretty much where Terry Sloan's part of the story of Mr. Terrific ends. Tommy, why don't you pick it up from there?
So after Terry Sloan, there was a new Mr. Terrific in town, Michael Holt. Michael Holt was also an amazingly smart man, known as the third smartest human in the DC universe, supposedly after Lex Luthor and Batman. He has 14 PhDs, including PhDs in engineering, physics, mathematics. He's a self-made multimillionaire. He has a high-tech firm called Cyberware, which he later sold to Wayne Tech. He was created by John Ostrander and Tom Mandrake. His first appearance was in The Spectre, number 54, back in June of 1997. And similarly to Sloan's origination, he also was a little suicidal, but he was suicidal after losing his wife and unborn child to a car accident. He was so distraught that he was almost suicidal, and then the Spectre came to him and told him about Terry Sloan, and then Michael Holt decided to reclaim the title of Mr. Terrific and use his intense knowledge to create tech to help him become a superhero, and he became a technology-based superhero. He joined the JSA, became the chairman of the JSA for a while, has also become a member of the Justice League in some of the animated iterations of that on TV. He's also been a member of Checkmate, the Terrifics. He's been all over the place in the DC universe. He has his T-Spears, which enable him to fly. They also have energy discharge properties. He can control them via audio controls and also mental controls. He has his T-Mask, which is embedded in his face through nanites that allow him to have different visual spectrum analysis, and also enable him to see in the different visual spectrums. He's just kind of a big brain in the superhero teams. And he also had his own title very briefly in the New 52, which is one of my favorite Mr. Terrific storylines. Hmm. So I liked, particularly in that, there was a couple of issues where he fought against an alien race in the ninth dimension called the Krill, that were enslaving different aliens to fight in wars and such. And Mr. Terrific freed a bunch of slaves, and it was a great little two-issue series.
Most of the Krill, however, were eaten by a giant space whale, because Baleen was their most hated enemy. Tom, let me ask you a question. You did the research back on Sloan, the Golden Age guy. Now, you said he was so bored with the challenges of the world that he was about to commit suicide, and then turned around and figured out there was still crime, homeless kids, hunger.
I just thought he didn't run for president.
He was very shocked to find that out, too.
I mean, just like, he didn't run for president.
He seemed kind of clueless, and I'm like, wait, what? Homeless veterans, what?
Maybe if I just walk around a bit, maybe I'll find some other stuff.
He was a sighted individual, correct?
Yeah. I was checking out the days. So I was like, couldn't he have just like helped give Jonah Salk a hand? Wouldn't that have been helpful?
Anything?
Something?
Anyone?
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the world.
You're the third smartest guy on the planet. You know what? Cancer's still kind of a problem.
Still a thing.
Yeah.
You may have noticed. Still a thing.
So
a
you, the most important thing that the original Mr. Terrific ever did was die.
Sorry, the most original thing?
No, the most important the most important thing he ever lent to comic books was his death. Because that was my first introduction to Mr. Terrific, was when he was killed in the jail.
Sorry, narcissist much?
Yeah, all the time. Let me tell my story. Right. It's my story. That's what's important.
Hold on. Before Mike tells that, I think Mike is trying to say that the criminal roulette was very important in the DC Universe, which I'm not sure is true, but... But it is. She is responsible by Mr. Terrific's death.
She's not responsible for Mr. Terrific's death.
Well, no, she's a result of Mr. Terrific's death. She hated the new Mr. Terrific because she thought he was an imposter, because she was a descendant, supposedly, of the original Mr. Terrific, and as such. She hated the new Mr. Terrific.
Get out of my fucking thesis statement.
Let the poor guy tell his goddamn story.
Now we can get back to Mikey's narcissism.
Let me just step all over you for a minute. Let me shit in your mouth and Mike, go.
So the dude did nothing in the entire Golden Age. He appeared in about 40 comics, sensational comics. He only made one appearance in the Justice Society of America. And he was an honorary member at best. So when he appears in the Justice League and there's that death during the JLA-JSA crossover that they had every year, it was actually a big event. But what I was going to say until LT just came in and stole my fucking thunder, holy shit, I'm glad I'm not Johnny Thunder. His death leads to the creation of not only Michael Holt, who is a much better character, but also the creation of Michael Holt's best enemy, and that is Roulette, who is the granddaughter of Terry Sloan and is really pissed off. Yes.
Don't mean to interrupt. I know nothing of this character, Roulette. Can you just give me... She sounds fascinating. Give me a little power set or something.
So Roulette...
Is she the third smartest woman? What?
She is super smart, but even better, she owns a casino, and she uses the casino to entertain supervillains. And what she does is she kidnaps superheroes and makes them fight to the death in order to entertain her supervillain clientele.
Oh, I remember Roulette shows up in a couple of episodes of the cartoon.
Yes.
With the Underground Fight. Yeah. That's a good character. I like her. Yeah.
I mean, she's no arcade, but...
I was going to say, so...
She is no arcade. Don't even say it. It's up, 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 good, Tommy. Up, up, up. You don't have to say it. You're just going to say she's no arcade. Josh,
I was going to say she's a ripoff of arcade.
How dare you accurately describe that character? How dare you, sir? She does not...
Put a pin in her.
She looks much better in her costume than Roulette, as Roulette than... Arcade ever did.
It's true. She doesn't.
Saint Arcade looks terrific.
She doesn't create elaborate murder worlds. She actually kills people.
But anyway, I agree that Mr. Terrific, the Michael Holt character, is a phenomenal character. I did not read his New 52 stuff except for the Terrifics. And in that, they have basically made him Mr. Fantastic without the stretchy power. He's cold. He's aloof. He really doesn't want to interact with the team, but he kind of has to because of their quantum situation. That's right. You can just use quantum for anything, and it'll solve a problem or cause a problem.
What are we going to have for lunch? Quantum lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what's your problem? Quantum.
If you want to read any of the really good stuff about Mr. Terrific, I suggest the Terrifics, but I'm also going to recommend you go back and read Jeff Johns' run on the JSA. When Mr. Terrific first gets introduced, I think you're really going to enjoy it. Tom, I think you would especially like that because it's issues 39 and issue 40 have social relevance. Issue 39 is Power Girl being stalked by a supervillain who, and issue 40 is all about a possible mass school shooting. So it's got a lot of social relevance in the JSA, and it really builds on the history of the comics, and I love the DC history.
So that's JSA 39 and 40. I will pick those up. Yeah. If you assholes don't bid against me on eBay.
I already own them. I don't need to bid against you. I will,
Tom,
but I don't need to.
You can actually read them on the DC app.
Oh, good. Thank you. Tommy's saving me money. Thank you, Tommy.
God damn it, Tommy. I was selling issues 39 and 40 on eBay.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
Josh, you went down one. Tommy, you went up one. I don't make the rules.
I don't know.
Josh, any familiarity with Mr. Terrific? You got anything to add?
Not really. I do like the concept of him just being – having every natural aptitude a person can have. It's a very nice way to describe he's just good at everything. He picks everything up so quickly. He's not just super intelligent. He is exceptionally coordinated. He just picks things up very fast. I just love the way that sort of that interplay is. He's sort of like a DC Taskmaster for me in a little way, where he just gets his own physicality. And when he sees things, he just immediately becomes familiar and capable with them. I envy that in a way I can't even really express.
And I think he has some of the coolest gadget. His T-spheres are just awesome, just visually from the comic book and the power set that the T-spheres give him.
Speaking of the T-spheres, which hover around him like ion stones for our D&D nerdy friends, one time he was telling someone that he could make the T-spheres accelerate to a speed which equaled about 1 mile every, I think it was like in a 50,000th of a second, which if it impacted a human body would pretty much turn them into superheated plasma. He might have been bluffing, but if he wasn't, why the fuck is he doing that often?
Those things are expensive, man. You can't just blow that on, you know, turning one person into superheated plasma.
Yeah, but you turn one person into superheated plasma, those 10 T-spheres whirling around you become much more important to the rest of the criminal underworld.
You think he can't bluff his way through that? I think he just saying that, he got everybody knowing it.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. See, he has a natural aptitude for bluffing people, Tom.
Tommy, did you tell us your favorite run?
Like I said, it was, I believe, issue 4 and 5 of the Mr. Terrific series from the New 52 Mr. Terrific series, where he fights the Krill.
I didn't read too much of the new Mr. Terrific. I went back and I found some of the old ones online in a couple of the archives, and I enjoyed those. Unlike Mike, who didn't seem to enjoy them as much as I did.
He does nothing, though. I mean, really. Does he?
Well,
give me one good thing that he did.
He taped two plates together and threw them like a discus and killed a guy from like 100 yards away.
Oh, so he's a murderer.
He was a decathlon, and he found a way to use it.
Uh-huh.
Name another decathlete that has done that.
Taskmaster?
Bruce Jenner?
Bruce Jenner. Granted.
So I think Josh is implying that Bruce Jenner's been pretty good at covering up murder.
You really should have said Kurt Thomas and brought up Gymkhana, Josh. The greatest gymnastics martial art movie. I got to watch that tonight again. Goddamn Gymkhana.
Yeah, what was that pommel horse doing in the middle of a Russian town?
The pommel horse was there because it was also doubling as a place they beheaded people. It was perfectly cromulent.
Perfectly. So anyway, getting back to Mr. Terrific, he has said that his superpower is learning things. Because he can just read a book and know how to do stuff. He has assisted Dr. Midnight in actually performing surgery just by reading medical manuals. that's how good at learning things Mr. Terrific is, and I think that's one of his biggest strengths.
So one of Mr. Fantastic's little short sights has been magic, because he can't understand it and he can't really comprehend it. Did Mr. Terrific have the same problem? I mean, I know he's worked with Dr. Fate in the past, but I haven't read as many comics. Does he have that as a shortcoming?
I think he's a little bit more open to magic than Reed Richards. But once again, he just kind of views it as a technology he doesn't understand yet. Right, Mike?
Yeah, I haven't seen him use any magic at all. It doesn't.
Right, but he just kind of looks at it as something he just doesn't understand yet.
Yeah, Richards kind of dismisses it.
Yeah, fake science.
Yeah.
Fake science. Like the whole Agatha Harkness, like he's seeing Agatha Harkness do stuff. This is Reed Richards, and he's not believing it. I'm like, really? The Superior Saint Seven are in front of you fighting you, and you're still not believing it? He's like, nah, that's not real. They're just mutants or something.
So
Mr. Terrific is a little more open to magic?
Okay. I don't know. I don't think he's dabbled in it. I don't know. What do you want us to say, man?
I'm just asking. I don't know this character.
He hasn't been 6 inches deep in it, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah. Isn't Richard Nixon that ass? Ah. Hello.
I don't know where we're going with this, but I'm gonna shoot back to the cartoon and say the Ultimate, Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah.
I like when they have him in the Watchtower and he's sort of doing their predictive analysis by deploying teams, as he's got so much information coming from the Watchtower, even though deep down he doesn't really like sitting in the Watchtower and being sort of the babysitter and the mission dealer. He's just so good at it. And I think that whole idea that he's smart enough to take in all that data and deploy people before things happen, looking at markers of information, is kind of cool. I just always liked that idea.
Yeah.
And the guy who did his voice in that, Michael Anthony Beach, you guys might know him as Black Manta's dad from the Aquaman movie.
Oh.
Oh.
All right. Nice.
Black Manta deserves revenge, and we should let him have it. Let his dad die, asshole.
He was also one of the bad guys in the Swamp Thing TV show on DC Universe, which I was the only poor sap who finished watching it. You're welcome, Internet.
You are correct, Mike.
Oh, Mike, some of us finished watching it.
Oh, you finished it?
We just didn't get to the end.
Okay, yeah, you all finished watching
it. Episode two. Yeah.
Good point, assholes.
Well played, LT. Well played.
I slapped my wrist like a blackjack dealer like two episodes in.
And a little fun Alec fact about Michael Beach. He is from Roxbury, Massachusetts.
Oh.
Ooh, right up the street from us there, LT.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roxbury. Not cool enough to be Dorchester. Not swanky enough to be Cambridge.
Not even swanky enough to be West Roxbury.
Josh, we did not hear you on that.
You can't hear me?
Maybe you went like this. Maybe.
It's not that your mic's not working. It's that you're not speaking very loud. No. It's kind of like...
Speaking of...
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box, I have the next opus from the fifth long box guy, Mark Russell. Just came out this past week, and I am talking about Year of the Villain, Riddler number one. That's right, Mark Russell has taken on Batman's most dangerous rogue. He not only is about the Riddler, but his co-star in this is just phenomenal. Out of all of Batman's rogues gallery, why don't you guys go ahead, if you haven't read it, take a guess as to which rogue Mark Russell wanted to tackle.
as the co-star.
Yes.
Ooh, all right.
Calendar Man.
Oh. Yeah.
Good call, but not Calendar Man. Calendar Man's actually become a badass.
I'm going to go with Condiment King.
That's also a good call, but he didn't go there. Think television show.
Kite Man?
No, not Kite Man. Kite Man's already had his greatest story ever told.
He's yeah Kite Man's done. Charles Brown.
It's King Tut.
Oh, King Tut.
Wow.
It is a great series. I don't want to spoil too much, but I will say that as King Tut is showing the Riddler around his elaborate death trap that he's created for Batman, the Riddler's like, "Where did you get crocodiles?" And King Tut's like, "Well, you know, I had a really rich aunt who died." And he's like, "So you spent your aunt's inheritance on that? I bet she's happy she saved all her life for that." It's just perfect.
There's a lot of things about supervillains that hardly ever make sense, and that's one of them.
And he goes in, Lex Luthor is in the Year of the Villain. If you're not aware, if you're not reading DC Comics right now, Lex Luthor has is giving out power to the villains in order to help them defeat their nemesis. However, the Riddler gets nothing from Lex Luthor except the wisdom to understand. Well, Lex Luthor tries to impart wisdom on him, and you got to read it. It's it shows you exactly what Riddler's main problem is, and even though Lex Luthor tells him what his problem is and how to fix it, Riddler is just not self-aware enough to realize what is happening at all. It's great.
Is that a one-shot, Mike, or a series?
It's a one-shot. If you haven't picked
it, it's a bunch of one-shots, right?
It's a bunch of one-shots. Mark Russell's did the one on the Riddler.
I'm going to put this in the box. That sounds like really a lot of fun. I like that kind of stuff. And I always like the villains. Like I said last week, I went back and reread some of those old Joker comics, and those were a lot of fun.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Tommy, what do you got in the back of the long box?
In the back of the long box, I have Colony by Bob Layton, Dick Giordano, Ian Sokolowski. So it was put out by IDW.
You said none of those names right. Not one.
You said Bob Layton, right?
Bob Layton?
Nope.
Dick Giordano?
Yeah, he's got them all. He nailed them all. Prove him wrong.
I can't. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back to sleep.
Yeah. It's not like you said Cheech Marin.
Yeah, it's no Cheech Marin in this.
Wow.
Cheech Marinara, what?
Thanks for the callback, guys. I really appreciate it.
Callback to the podcast. We're not even broadcasting right now.
You'll have to subscribe to the Patreon in order to find out that inside joke. And where can they subscribe to the Patreon, Tom?
That's a great question. I'm going to answer that for Tom.
Thank you, because I had my mind on mute.
You can go to patreon.com/thelongboxguys, and for a mere 25 cents a week, every week we do a podcast, you can get the extra podcast, The GOAT Greatest of All Time. This week we did Steven Seagal's greatest movie, and I'm not gonna spoil anything, but it was a close one.
Me too.
So anyways, LT, go back to the book. Let's go back to the front of the long box. Tell us more about this series. What was the name of it again?
You mean the back of the long box. Colony. This was Dick Giordano's last book that he did the art for before he passed away from cancer. And it was a book that Bob Layton was trying to sell the idea for a TV series, and it kept getting shot down as being too big. So he kind of shortened the story down and did it as a webcomic, and it was a pretty good story. It was a story of a prison that was set up on a planet that was a harsh planet so that nobody would go to it, and the reason that the prison was set up on this planet was really that it was set up as a mining colony so that they could mine this one special substance that was the key to...
We've done this one. Because I've never read this one, and I know that we're mining our way to hell right now.
No.
Okay.
So the substance that they were mining that was not well known in the populace was actually sort of a fountain of youth type substance. It could give you back some of your youth. And that's why they put this prison there, because they wanted it to this planet to be listed as one of the worst places to go, and wanted to have absolutely no commercial value to this planet. And one of the prisoners that was sent there for a crime he didn't commit. Him and a group of prisoners escape. They meet up with the natives. The planet is actually one sentient being. All the natives on the planet have a shared mind, but they have been shut off from the actual consciousness of the mind for so long because of an asteroid that hit, that this escaped prisoner has to reconnect them to their conscious mind.
And it was sounds actually, like 9 different comic books.
It was a pretty good story, believe it or not. So, Colony, recommend that you check it out. The artwork is great.
I know either you or Mike recommended this a while back. There was one where they were mining their way into hell, and they were getting, like, hell fire.
It was Devil's Run.
Devil's Run, that's it. By the way, I started reading that. It's really good. I haven't finished it, but it's in my stack of shit. Today in my little weird segment, I want to do a little 3 to 18 thing. A movie we loved as kids, and it was so fucking stupid. And it's still fucking stupid because I just watched it last night. Hawk the Slayer.
Wow. So good.
3 to 18. I'm giving this thing a solid 16. I still love it. Should be called Hawk the Mass Murderer and His Friends Who Murder. The death count in this thing is ridiculous. Mikey, 3 to 18, what do you got?
Well, you're talking about a dwarf with a repeating crossbow. You're talking about an elf with super speed when it comes to shooting a bow and arrow. You're talking about Hawk, who actually he's kind of superfluous. I like all his other characters better than Hawk.
You forgot the giant. There's a giant.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty much
who's about a foot bigger than the dwarf.
Yeah, because that's how reality works, man. No, yeah. I got to say I really loved this film as a kid. I wanted this to be my D&D campaign, and as a result, I have watched it in since becoming an adult, and it definitely holds up. Not my memory, because I had it much better in my memory, but it still made me want to go play Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm going to give it a 14.
14, good solid one. What do you got there, Josh?
I have not seen this movie since we were playing D&D, probably.
Really?
You're better off having not seen it, so go ahead.
So, as far as our equivocation of the times are, and the memories I have of that film, probably while we were actually playing D&D, while it was in the background, I have to give it a 17.
Good score. Don't forget, guys, Jack Palance.
Bad guy.
Jack Palance was Voltan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With a sore eye. Broken eye, not missing eye. It just hurt.
Just hurt.
It was just sore.
One-eyed push-ups all over that. One-eyed push-ups, one-arm push-ups all over that movie.
One-eyed push-ups is that guy was definitely so a porno movie.
How many can you do, Tom?
One, but you only need one.
You need
only one. I can do one-eyed push-up, but that's all you need. You're up, you're up. Tommy, what do you got? 3 to 18.
I have not seen this film in a long, long time, and I suspect it does not hold up as well as it would. One would guess. I'm going to go with 14.
All right, that's fine. I'm going to stick with mine.
And I guess if I watched it again, I probably would not rate it as high.
I got to tell you, I really enjoyed watching it. I've seen it like 3 times since we were kids. And every single time I watch it, it brings me right back to that place where I don't even want to be drinking beer. I want to be eating cereal and just sitting back and just enjoying myself as a kid. So, I mean, the nostalgia factor for me is super high on this. So I still love it. But that's a little tangential. Tangents are your purview, Josh. What do you got for us this week as your tangent?
Well, you were just speaking of cereal, and it threw me into a mental tizzy for a moment. And I have to ask everybody, you get 2 favorite cereals. One you can eat with milk and one without. Which 2 cereals do you go for?
Oh, that's weird. It's weird, man.
I don't like milk, so I would eat both mine without milk.
Well, you're a monster. Shut your pie hole and pick 2 cereals.
I would eat one with yogurt, maybe.
That sounds awful.
No, it's not so bad.
No, you put the cereal in the milk.
Crush it up.
Yeah.
No, I hate yogurt, so it just all sounds awful to me.
Yeah.
I love Cheerios, so Cheerios is my first no matter what.
Okay.
And I can eat Crispex, just Crispex, especially if I make a Crispex mix. So I'm going to go with Cheerios for the milk and Crispex, make a nice Crispex mix. Like a Chex Mix, but I like Crispix more. So Crispix, Chex Mix. Good one, Josh. Good one.
And I'm going to go with Cheerios with milk. Mm. And without milk, I'm just going to go with Cap'n Crunch peanut butter.
Oh.
Those little peanut butter bombs, I could just snack on those all day long without any milk needed.
Just... So, Mike, drink, because, I mean, we're so close here. It's not quite, but yeah, I'm right with you.
Going with just regular Captain Crunch shred the top of your mouth?
No, I am peanut butter crunch on the milk side. On the non-milk side, I am 100% in on Cracklin' Oat Bran.
Really?
Cracklin' Oat Bran is just like oatmeal cookies in a bag. It's my favorite cereal of all time.
I never liked it that much. I mean, it's okay. Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
All right. Maybe I'll give it another try.
It's actually not as good now as it used to be when we were kids. I think the formula changed a little bit, but it's still pretty damn good.
Yeah, they don't use Munchkins anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, now Cookie Crisp used to be the fucking bomb.
And now it's disgusting.
It's disgusting. Yeah, it used to be a bag full of fucking cookies.
Yeah, and now they're like...
And like you're like, hey, Mom, can I have Cookie Crisp? Wink. And she'd be like, fine, wink. And it was like, yeah, it's cereal, wink. Now it's actually a cereal that kind of tastes a little bit like cookies, but it's not a bowl full of cookies.
No, they're like little deformed, glazed, like sharp rocks. They're terrible. They're
taste the same going in as they do going out.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a deal, Cookie Crisp. Fuck you.
We had a deal. Yeah.
We had a deal. Tommy, yours?
I used to like the Honey Smacks.
Oh.
And
I dig them, sure. I'll dig them.
Yeah.
And I also used to like the Reese's Peanut Butter balls. I forget what they called them, but they had a cereal for a bit that were similar to what Mike and you were describing, Josh.
It's true, but yours had chocolate ones in it as well as peanut butter.
Yeah.
Well,
delicious.
I'm going to go on a tangent off of this tangent because I want to know, because there's no original ideas out there in Hollywood right now.
True.
Pitch me your cereal movie.
Boo Berry was actually Richie Rich's ghost. So Richie Rich, the kid, is killed, comes back as Boo Berry, the cereal, which was a subsidiary of his own company, and he has to avenge his fucking death.
Okay.
Beat it. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say Cap'n Crunch does a combo with the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie because they couldn't get any more ridiculous.
I'm going to go with Dig'Em and Sugar Smacks, and it's a combination of a Bruce Lee movie and Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo, where they have to dance to save the youth center.
You brought me over. You brought me over, Josh.
And it's Breakfast 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo. God damn it, Mikey.
and since those god-awful sparkling vampire movies made so fucking much money, Count Chocula is the grown-up sparkling vampire from those stupid-ass teen vampire book movies. And it's him giving way to a new generation where he has to fight off, I don't know what, the intentions for his young children now. And Bella is still bitching and moaning about something when the frog from the Honey Smacks comes out of her ass.
You kind of lost it there, buddy.
It's right at the end. You had me right at the end, and then you threw me.
You were steaming along, and then you had frog.
You lost the wheel,
and
you're like, yeah.
You didn't stick the landing, man. I mean, if you're going to go that route, you might as well do First Blood, but just all serial characters, right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be nice. Yeah.
And
yes,
make Count Chocula the Rob, not the Rob Van Damme, the Jean-Claude Van Damme part of it.
I like Rob Van Damme better.
Yeah. We'd have him doing the voice of Count Chocula.
And the frog wins a Kumite?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. So nobody expects the frog to win the Kumite.
No, it's probably one.
And then the second movie in that series is Breakfast 2, Electric Boogaloo.
That's right.
We can do a whole trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, easy. Easy.
The third one is called Tokyo Drift for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the subplot rivalry is actually Count Chocula versus the Count.
The third one is called Tokyo Spill, and it's just milk spilling out of the bowl.
No one cried about it.
No one cries over spilt milk in this movie.
None. Ever.
So we'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check him out at KirbyCracklemusic.com.
Right. That's a timely pivot, Mike. I would like to pivot to Friendly Neighborhood Comics. That place is clean again.
It's nice. It's nice. I've been there.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Tom, what do you got?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
Geekorthodox.com.
Hello, Tammy.
Geekorthodox.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, t-shirts, posters, whatever you need for your geek.
And they'll be kind of in our neighborhood not too long from now. They'll be at New York Comic Con. When is that, Josh? Do you know?
I think it's the first or second weekend of October. I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah, it's coming up. We should see if they need help. And if they don't need help, we should just go in for a day.
Yeah,
I would totally be in for a day trip. Yeah, goddamn right I'd do a day trip.
Yeah.
And I would like to just plug real quick my sock drive, superhero sock drive. That's something I've been doing for about 10 years now. And we've raised and given out easily over 2,000 or 3,000 pairs of socks, granola bars, and other things. If you would like to donate some socks to the homeless here from the Long Box Guys, just give us a shout out on our Patreon page or on our Twitter page, and we'll be sure to collect those socks out from you. Diane, I know you're listening, and I know you're going to send me socks because you already said you would. And a couple of other our Patreons have already reached out even before we started. So I'd like to thank all our Patreon patrons for knowing that we have the sock drive coming up and also for giving. And I know all you guys are going to send me some socks, right?
Socks are in the mail, my friend.
Josh already sent them. I think I already got some from Donnie.
And they're going to have rolls of quarters in them, too. So you're welcome.
Damn right they are.
I would like to also plug, in addition to Tom's awesome sock drive, you want to see us, obviously, because our panels are awesome. Horrible, horrible stereotypes. Where can you see these panels? We'll go to the local Comic-Cons that we're going to be in. If you're in the Reno, Nevada area, we will be at the Reno Pop Culture Con 2019, November 8th, 9th, and 10th, we will be doing the Horrible Stereotype panel. And we're also doing the same panel at the Los Angeles Comic-Con. So, and that is going to be October 11th to the 13th. So come find us at either of those conventions. We, in Los Angeles, we're going to be joined by fellow podcaster Cheryl Jones from the Movies Made Me podcast. And I don't know if she's aware of that yet. This is probably the way she's going to find out. So you should check out her podcast, Movies Made Me. It's available everywhere you get your podcast. And you should also check out our friends over at whosnextgaming.com. They have an awesome podcast. I've really been enjoying Seth's comic talks a lot. I'm not a big gamer, so every other week I'm in there. The gaming stuff just loses me. But if you're into gaming, that's the podcast for you. And Sex Robots. That's also the podcast for you.
Everyone likes Sex Robots.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I guess that about does it for us. Don't forget to listen to our Patreon. We already said that. Listen to our Twitter. Listen to our podcast, which you're already doing. And Mikey, what's this podcast like for you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh, we're going to be in Reno, Nevada. You're probably not going to be there, but at some point in history, that's got to have been your sector.
Oh, it has definitely been my sector in the past.
It's right in the Donner Party zone, so. And Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like work.
Because you got none.
Because I got none.
And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live a lot longer. Green Lantern movie sucked. Thank you from everyone here at the podcast.
Love bye-bye. You. Bye-bye.
If I've learned anything from Starship Troopers, the infantry's there to die.
Wow. You've learned exactly enough from Starship Trooper. Yeah, you're good.
All that bad Starship Troopers movies, that's what the message was.
I love shitting on ELT, but you got the exact lesson exactly right.